I have to tell you, we actually live surrounded on three, almost four sides by the Delaware State Forest. And I have never seen so many animals in my life. I have never seen anything like this. I mean, Colorado Springs or Kansas City or even the Mission Field, we never saw, you know, real live animals. We have a huge gopher in our front yard. He's got a hole that's this big. I mean, but he's even, I don't know how he squeezes in there. And we see him almost every day. We see foxes. We've seen porcupine several times. Raccoons, of course, possum, of course, but it's these extra ones, skunk, deer, literally by the herd. And I had heard that there were 17 bear dens in our neighborhood. A den is where the bear hibernates, and they had identified 17 of them right here within five square miles of where we are. And one of those dens was identified about 150 yards in that direction. So I had heard, you know, please be careful. One of the things they told us right up front is please be careful. Do not leave your garbage out. Don't put it the night before. The bear will, you know, turn it over. He's big enough. He's strong enough to pick up one of these very heavy things that I can barely pick up. He can pick it up and toss it around. And we've heard stories. A neighbor up this way, just two houses, has it on camera. The mother bear with the two cubs. And the cubs are probably adult human size. So the mother is really big. I had heard about this bear, the bear that lived close by. But this past week, I saw him on my property. And we were about 15 feet apart looking at each other. And I was in the car with the windows shut and, you know, doors locked. And I'm looking at him, and he's on my property right there looking at me. And he was a big black bear. There was no doubt about him. He was not a duck. He was not a deer. He was not a possum. He was not a little bitty chipmunk. He was unmistakably a big black bear. He looked at me for maybe 10, 15 seconds like he wasn't quite. I was in his way. He wanted to come in my direction because that's the way the path, that's where the trees kind of funneled out of our property into the next property. So I was in his way. And he just looked at me for a while, and he says, I'm through with this. And he took off and went in a totally different direction. And I didn't even get a phone up to take a picture. Okay. It's that fast and that big. And I did call Susan, you know, don't go outside. The grandkid cannot go outside. Nobody can, but of course they did. And they saw the bear from a distance, a nice, safe, you know, 100 yards. But I just want to point out, there was no doubt what he was. I have a pretty good idea now what a black bear looks like. Today, I'd like to talk about what does God look like? Now, we can't really answer that, but I think we consider what is God like? What is God like? And to be godliness, to be like Jesus, is what we Christians say that we all want to be. We want to be like Jesus. We want to be like God. We want to be godly. And we ask God's Holy Spirit to transform us into being more like Christ, more like God. We're really asking God to help us pick up his character in our own life, to act like he acts, to respond to people like he responds to people, to have good, genuine relationships like he would like us to have. So the question is, what would God's own character look like in us, in each of us? And I think we need to know a little bit more about those God, his character traits. And I think we need to see what the Bible says about God. What is he like? Tozer, a writer, a pastor once said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. In other words, we need to get our focus on God, and that will affect us directly. Directly. My scripture for today comes from Psalm 145. Psalm 145. It's too long to read. I'm just gonna hit a few key points because they are characteristics of God. Psalm 145 is an acrostic psalm. An acrostic psalm is where each word that starts a verse is in alphabetical order. There are 9 acrostic psalms out of the 150. And interestingly enough, this is the last psalm of David. David, the psalmist, wrote 5 of those 9 acrostic psalms. Now, the whole idea possibly, or at least it seemed to me, that the acrostic psalm is to help us expand, you know, the characteristics and understand. For example, let me go back to the black bear. If I were to say the black bear is active, that would start with A. The black bear is black, that would be. You see what I'm doing? The black bear is curious, that would be a C. The black bear is dangerous, E. D. The black bear is elusive. This is the first time I've been here 6 months and first time I've seen him. So you can see how going through the characteristics and then, you know, doing it alphabetically. So anyway, to get to Psalm 145, the first 3 verses, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. I will praise your name forever and ever. And then here comes the first one. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. And I just like us to think about the greatness of God. God is great. But the way it's written here in the Hebrew is great, or the word for great in Hebrew, great is Yahweh. Great is the Lord. What does that mean? Is it greatness in power? It's greatness in magnitude. It's greatness in all ability to do anything that he wants to do. Great in extensive. Great in, he's completely unique. He's infinite. He's unimaginably great. This one we can't possibly imitate. This one we can't be like, but it's a great way to start. Sorry, didn't mean to put the pun in there. It is a great way to start because he is so much bigger. God is so much. I think one of the main thing that we need to share with students, with congregations, is how great, how big, how huge, wonderfully huge God is. And I think you've heard the thing that we feel or we express God and we make him kind of small. We limit God and we make him kind of small to kind of fit what we're comfortable with, but he's not. He's infinitely great. In verse 8, it says gracious and compassionate is God, is the Lord. Slow to anger and great mercy. Gracious. Now that's a word I know it when I see it. Like I knew the bear when I saw him. But that's not one. I'm never going to be great, but I hope I could possibly be gracious. But I don't think that's definitely not one of my strong areas. What does gracious mean? You know people that are gracious? They're amiable. They're quick to listen. They're gentle with words. They're sympathetic. They're generous with their time. They're respectful. They're attentive. Are you tracking with me? What's a gracious person? How does that when you think of the most gracious person you know? They're accessible. They're courteous, kind, polite. They're patient. Now, gracious obviously is part. It's connected to the word grace, but it's not graceful. That's different. I would say it's full of grace, maybe full of grace towards each person. you know, a gracious person is just doesn't seem to ever be suspicious. They always believe the best in somebody. They're never prejudiced. A gracious person is tenderhearted, genuinely caring and considerate. I think a gracious person is accommodating. And the rest of the verse talks about compassionate, slow to anger, great in mercy. And that's the way God is. And you know he's been that way with you. You know he's been that way with me. I know he's been that way with me. Gracious. Wow. How would I become, or maybe the question should be gracious and compassionate to whom? I think hopefully we're gracious to our spouses and our family members. And I hope we're gracious to our friends and colleagues. And I hope we're gracious to the folk at our church. But I don't think that's enough. God is gracious and compassionate even to his enemies. He cares for those and is attentive to those who hate and despise him. Are we gracious like that? I don't think so. I think we, at least especially nowadays, we avoid our enemies. We avoid those who oppose us or disagree with us. I think sometimes we say to ourselves, well, I'm just going to leave those guys alone. They can live their way. I'll live my way. I'll just avoid them. I won't bother them and they won't bother me. I think that's pretty common. I think that's how, especially sometimes Christians, non-Christians, how we, especially if we don't agree with them. But that's not God's way. He's gracious towards sinners. He's gracious towards his enemies. He's not at all like we are. While we were yet sinners and rebels against him, he sent his son. Jesus came and died for us. We need to be gracious, and that's a hard one for me. Compassionate, great in mercy towards others who oppose me. I don't know. That's not an easy one. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 9, good is Jehovah. Good is Yahweh. Good is the Lord to all, and his mercies are over all his works. Now, we know, we've been told since we were kids, God is good. What exactly does that mean? And how can we be good? And we need to be, and we should be good, because we want to be like God. We want to be like Christ. What is goodness? How does that work out in our lives? I think it means to be trustworthy and excellent and honest and superb in every way and full of integrity and morally perfect. Excellent, virtuous. I think it means to be completely transparent and try to be correct in everything possible and fully dependable. And I hate to use this word, but good is someone who's nice. So I can tell you how hard that is with some of my students when she can hear me yelling after I hung up, of course, but sometimes. Let's go on to verse 13. The first 13 actually leaves out a part, but it's in the Septuagint, so I'm going to take it. It's the second part. It says, faithful is God. Faithful is the Lord. Faithful is Yahweh in his words, and holy in all his works. And NIV says, trustworthy in his promises and faithful in all he does. Now, I think these parts, the rest of the psalm, are pretty understandable. We understand faithful. We understand holy. And he is. God is that. And I want to finish with number 17. Verse 17, righteous is the Lord. Just, ethical, dutiful, diligent, scrupulous, impartial, completely fair, infinitely unbiased, and always true to his word. That's righteous. Boy, we need to be that. I think God wants us to be like that. I think he wants us to be impartial. He wants us to be fair, righteous, right, have right relationships with all people. Actually, there is one more verse. It's verse 18. Near is the Lord. Near is God. Near is Yahweh. Nearby. Close. Which means God is aware, attentive, fully present, fully here with us. I think all of these attributes are magnified because God, Yahweh, is near to all who really call on him. And that's where we are right now, right here. It's a blessing that we can call him and call upon him and say, Lord, put these character traits in me. I kind of think it's kind of like a pastor I heard talk about the fruit of the Spirit. He says, when you are filled with the Spirit, when you're sanctified and the Lord the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you are given the fruit of the Spirit. He says, that doesn't mean you will have all of them, all nine of them. You just might be a little tree with little fruit. But God wants to grow you into a big tree with big fruit, a lot more fruit. It's not a question in this particular case of quality. We will have the fruit of the Spirit if the Holy Spirit dwells in our lives. And I need that. Love, love, joy, peace, patience, you know all those. The fruits of the Spirit and the characteristics of God, I think we have them, but we need to grow. And he wants to grow and make us more fruitful and more like Jesus and more evident so that by our fruits they'll know us. And they'll know that we're like our Savior. Or hopefully that's what we're praying for, right? That's the word for the day.